Diane Cook, congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I'm really excited.
So this is your debut novel. And I know before this you were a radio producer for This American Life. What kind of training ground was that for a novelist, Diane?
It was actually really good training for a novelist and a writer in general. So This American Life is a nonfiction program, and we work with journalists and for the most part tell true stories. There's some fiction that we run on there, but it's mostly true. And one of the things that drove me to fiction from that job was the number of times that we would have to say no to a story because it just didn't lay out the way we needed it to. And so I really kind of was craving the control that fiction gives me to tell the story the way I think it needs to be told and not the way it has to be told because you have to stick to the truth. So I don't know, fiction is like a, like, I feel like I'm free. I've been freed from I've been freed from some kind of binding now that I get to make things up. But the other thing that This American Life was so good at is that it was a journalism show, but it was a narrative journalism show. And I really learned how to tell stories, like how stories traditionally lay out and what is satisfying about a story and what makes people want to hear a story. And so, you know, when I decided to turn back to fiction, I just kind of took what I learned and tried to apply it into world building and words on a page instead of, you know, these bits of audio that I was putting on the radio.
You said they turned back to fiction. Was this something you'd been chipping away at earlier?
Oh, yeah. You know, I studied fiction in college. You know, I was an English major and a writing major. And so, you know, when I graduated college, though, I didn't really think it was something you could do for a living. You know, it just seemed like a hard, you know, I think any artist wonders whether they should really go down the path of art making when, you know, as a career, because it's such a precarious career. But, you know, I went into the world of nonfiction. I went into the world of radio and had a career that way. And then when I decided that I really needed to give myself a chance to either make it or not make it in fiction, you know, I left and went back to study it.
I think we need to talk about the apocalypse because you have an interest in the apocalypse.
Because we're here.
Yeah. Your previous collection was called Man v. World. That focused on a few different dystopias. And of course, The New Wilderness is also about a dystopia. Why are you so compelled to write about the end of the world?
I think I'm just really interested in endings in general. And whether that's like the end of a life or the end of a relationship or the end of the world as we know it. I just think endings are really fascinating times for people. And, you know, I'm not exactly an optimist. And I definitely, you know, if I'm thinking about writing a book about the future, that future can often look pretty grim to me. And I just like putting characters in really different tension-filled situations. And I like world building. You know, I like really making things up. And this might be connected to my work at This American Life and me trying to get as far away from truth-telling as possible, that I want to tell stories that aren't exactly happening right now. They're not a part of our current world, but they could be. Or they're informed by our secret fears or our worries for the future. And like, that's where I want to spend my time imagining. It doesn't feel dreary to me. It feels kind of hopeful. Like I'm always trying to look for the thing that makes people keep moving on, even though the world around them feels desperate.
And it is a desperate world in The New Wilderness. Can you describe the state of the world in this book, The New Wilderness?
Yeah, so The New Wilderness takes place in, you know, the nearish future in a country. It's in my mind it was always the US, but I don't say. It imagines that the country is totally developed and overpopulated and kind of ruined by climate change. And so there's very little usable land left. And the land that's being used, or that land that is useful, is being used to support the population that keeps growing and growing. All those people live in this overcrowded, polluted city. And there's only one area left in the country that is just an empty wilderness area. So no national forests, no state forests, none of that. It's just this one area called the Wilderness State. And my book imagines that 20 people volunteer to go live in the Wilderness State as a kind of experiment to see if people and nature can coexist anymore, because they just haven't in so long. And the novel follows these 20 people, but more specifically, it follows this mother bee and her daughter Agnes. And they've gone to the Wilderness State as part of this experiment in order to save Agnes's life, because the city is so dirty and polluted that Agnes is really sick and she needs to get out of that place in order to survive. And it just follows them kind of as they, it follows Agnes and all of them, but as they grow up there and as they grow into these new people who live in a completely new environment and have completely different tasks ahead of them in order to survive than they did in the city where they all used to live.
I always imagined that, you know, maybe going and living amongst nature might make you a, I don't know, kinder person, a more peaceful person, but that doesn't necessarily happen to this community, does it?
No. No, and in fact, there's like a line about that in the book. You know, I think living in an uncomfortable situation is really hard. Most of us think when we want to get away from it all, we want to get away from it all for like a weekend in a tent, or maybe longer in a nice, well-appointed cabin, you know, with a fireplace and a stove. And we want to look at nature. We don't really want to really interact with it to the point where it's as powerful as we are. And so that's what these people end up having to do. And it's not a vacation. It's a hard life. But, you know, to them, it is worth the hardship because of what they're fleeing back in the city. And as the book goes on, they find out that they're not the only people who think it's worth it.
Your book is inspired by climate change, in a way. Of course, the other great kind of apocalyptic story of this era is the pandemic. And I wonder, Diane, if you've had a think about how this new event is going to shape fiction going forward. Is it something you would be compelled to write about?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I feel like I know people are going to write about it, and I'm very interested to see what comes out of it. I don't know if I'm going to want to write about it, because I'm not going to want to think about it ever again once we get on the other side of this. It's been really hard. But I think it's going to be kind of, I mean, it'll be probably different for people, for your listeners in Australia, but there were these really small but monumental ways that life for Americans changed after 9/11. And it wasn't that we all ran around scared of things, but like just regulations and the way we kind of managed our life after that really changed in these ways that we don't remember, because they were small, but they changed it fundamentally. And I think that that's what's going to happen with the pandemic too. Like we'll never go back to the way we were. It won't be that we ever really notice the changes and they don't feel necessarily oppressive, but it won't ever be the same. And I think that will be reflected in the fiction that we read. I think there'll be this new sense of the world that will come, whether the book is about the pandemic or about a virus. It doesn't necessarily have to be about those things, but we'll get the sense that something has shifted in the way we understand the world. That's my prediction anyway, that it'll seep in somehow.
Diane Cook, you are now a Booker shortlisted author, which is an incredible achievement. What does this mean for you and for your career going forward?
Well, it means a lot to me. I feel really happy about it. And for my career, I hope it means that I get to write another book. I think a lot of writers, just that's their hope, is that the professional world will still be open to them after, you know, after they put out a book. But it's a huge honor. It's so surprising. And I really love that the list was full of so many debut authors and even just like second time authors. It's just it's nice to remember that, you know, there are great books and great writers that sometimes people can really just shine with something that they're passionate about and something that they work hard on. And it can really capture people's imaginations in a way that feels good. And I feel like with this book, somehow, I'm really grateful for however it happened, the judges really responded to what I was doing. And I just love that. And I feel so honored about that.
It's a really compelling book. Diane Cook, congratulations and good luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much.